my name's Kirsty James. I'm a digital skills officer for RNIB Cymru. I have Stargardt's disease and Charles Bonnet syndrome, and I'm registered blind.
Hello, my name is Kat. I'm a complementary therapist. I lost my sight 20 years ago due to retinopathy, optic eye disease, cataract and glaucoma, and I'm self-employed.
Hi, I'm Nikki Kelly. I'm a singer-songwriter and I'm also a community facilitator for RNIB. My sight conditions are optic atrophy and keratoconus, which were a result of intracranial hypertension.
In 2014, I'd moved back to Wales from Hereford. I was living in Caerphilly and was a complementary therapist for Cancer Careline. And I just felt that I was ready to have a guide dog. My life was in the right place.
Okay, so what made you feel ready to have a guide dog?
I just felt that I wasn't getting out of the house on my own. I was working 2 days a week as a complementary therapist, and I just was ready just to sort of get my life back together and have more independence, because I was relying on a lot of people, you know, just to go to the shop, a basic thing of picking up even a pint of milk. I had to wait for somebody to take me, and I was relying on my husband heavily. And my friend Kat, who's here, she had a guide dog, and I've been around her a long time with her guide dog. And I always knew something I wanted. I just knew my life wasn't ready. You know, your cane skills have to be up. You know, you can't just have a guide dog if you're not getting on a bus and things. And that was my motivation, really, to use my cane more, was having a guide dog. Because I had to get on the bus, go into town. Even though I was still with somebody, I was using a cane.
Yeah.
So guide dogs came out and gave me an assessment. And that's when they said, yes, you can have a guide dog, but you do still need to work on your cane skills. And I had a rehabilitation officer come out, and she helped me with certain like little routes into town, getting on the bus. And I just built that up over the year or so that I was waiting for a guide dog. And I remember that time was just, you're on edge, just waiting for that phone call to say, we have a match.
Yeah.
And then I remember it was the 28th of November, and I had the call, we have a guide dog for you. And this was 28th of November 2014, and I was just over the moon, nervous and anxious, thinking, oh, this is it. And I started my training and qualified on Christmas Eve. So I've nearly been matched with Bass 3 years.
Perfect Christmas present.
It was absolutely amazing. And it's hard work, you know, all of having to learn assertiveness, because they're just like pups, really, when they come. He's 18 months and he was wild, very stubborn. I just remember that first year. It was hard, really hard. There was times when I just wanted to give up, because you just have to keep going. And I just picture, right, it's all going to be good, he's a pup, it's me that's being stressed because my anxiety levels are still very high. You know, leaving the house on my own was a huge thing, and the dog picks up on that. And I suppose it just taught me how to be in the now and using mindfulness and really taking care of myself to control the anxiety levels. But having a dog was a really good distraction in those moments.
Because you were telling me, weren't you, Kirsty, once, that because of your anxiety sometimes, just having Bass with you to stroke.
Yes.
And
I'd say that was the biggest impact Bass has had for me, is travelling to places. You know, up until November last year, even though I had Bass for a year or so, I was still just going on the bus, getting on the train to Hereford on my own, or getting on the bus to the local town and going to visit my friend. Still wasn't very independent. I was in a little bubble, I would say, of my little comfort zone. And I just knew the Bass deserved more. And that's when I joined RNIB in January. And that's really where my independence just flourished, because I all of a sudden had to get on the train to work every day. So Bass was a whole new environment for me. Mm. Being on busy trains, and without Bass, I couldn't do it. And that's young. And now all of my achievements this year, Bass has been a big contributor to that. Mm. Travelling to London, Birmingham, Leeds on the train, and just having him there just as a companion more than anything has really made my independence grow and give me fuel again to be a free spirit like I was before I lost my sight.
Yeah. So you mentioned that guide dogs got in touch with you. So when you decided you wanted a guide dog, did you have to do anything or?
Yeah, I just contacted guide dogs and said, I'm interested in having a dog. And then the engagement officer came out to see me and they just go through all the process and ask you lots of questions about your life because, you know, your life has to be appropriate for a dog to come into, you know, where you live, your lifestyle and everything. Yeah. And I was ready for that. Bass was my focus, so I knew that going out on nights out and things, it helped me sort of calm my life in a way because I had a focus. So I would think, oh, I don't want to go out partying all weekend because I want to look after Bass and free run Bass and take him up the mountain and and take him to really good fun places. And a free run is exhilarating for me. I still remember the day I took him on my own. I just walking down the path and I just cried and I was just like, this is amazing. I've got my life back. Yeah. And I just remember that freedom and that feeling I held on to. And that's what I've created this year to be about.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, you've been matched up well with Bass?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Personality and
definitely stubborn, quite excitable. But very calm at the same time.
And like, what about Bass?
Yeah. He's moody as well. Very sensitive. He's such a sensitive dog. And he's so professional. I do say to him sometimes, come on, Bass, lighten up. Life doesn't mean to be that serious. But that's what keeps me on the straight path of keeping focused and achieving goals. And I don't mean like huge goals, just little goals. Like, each step, travelling somewhere on my own, I remember going to Leeds, and this was to do with work for training, and I travelled up with Bass, and then had to find the hotel on my own, had to find the room, and then somewhere to go and eat on my own. I remember being in the hotel room and just crying with just sheer happiness that I've done it, and I just was like so grateful to Bass. I remember just hugging him and just going, can't believe a dog has done this.
Yeah.
And that's just so freeing. And I think that's what gave me the confidence for Glastonbury and things. And Bass was also a big part of our wedding day. He was the ring bearer. And he had the rings. He had my, where I used to work, my lovely old boss made a, it was like a suit jacket on the front that velcroed on the back. It was awesome. It had like the jacket and a little dicky bow and shirt. Just like, she was so creative and amazing at what she'd done. And he walked down the aisle with me, then had the rings, and he just looked dapper. He loved it. Yeah. He was all over it. Having him there throughout that day, a big, you know, getting married with sight loss, it's a huge thing for me. For me as well, that was about getting married, was about reclaiming my power, about the things that I wanted to do and what I wanted. And it was a very emotional process because of course, it comes with different challenges that you have to overcome yourself, like not being able to see yourself in your dress and things. But, you know, that all came and I felt all the textures and stuff. And that what I thought was going to be challenges, actually going through it wasn't.
No.
So it wasn't any problems.
And it was the most emotional wedding I've ever been to. Nikki, everybody cried. Yeah. All day, all night.
Even the registrar was crying. She said she's never had a wedding like it.
It was with happiness, wasn't it? And proudness and what you've achieved as well. You and Tom, it wasn't just tears for you.
No.
It was for you, Tom and Bass, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I walked down the aisle to a drum and bass track.
That's a surprise.
It was lots of amazing drum and bass actually throughout the ceremony, and it just summed us up as a couple.
Perfect.
Yeah. Very big live wires. And Bass has been through amazing milestones in my life so far. I'm just excited to see where we're going to go with and in the future and what the future holds for us, because I'm just proud to take him places. And he's four now, so he's getting calmer and he's so well behaved. you know, go to all meetings, and he just stays. He's got so much patience. I have, but he's got a lovely life as well. We go all sorts of places on free runs. So, yeah, my experience of a guide dog has definitely been the best thing, that the start of my journey, I suppose, of acceptance of my sight loss and acknowledging that I actually have sight loss as well in a real positive way. And overcoming my anxiety, depression, I think, was a big contributing factor of having a guide dog.
Yeah. And I think as well, people don't necessarily realise that, yeah, a dog might be there to guide you, but it clearly, because I didn't realise how much it really does change people's lives. Like, I just think, great, because I use a cane and that, you know, helps me get from A to B, or and that's that. And I guess, you know, with yourself, it's helped calm anxiety and things like that. It's just so much more than just a dog that helps you get somewhere, isn't it? It's,
and it hasn't come without its challenges. You know, as much as it is, I mean, an incredible positive experience, it's been really difficult at times. You've got responsibilities for this dog and making sure you're keeping on top of the training. You can't get lax. You have to be firm and keep them structured. And, you know, I've had my fair share of access issues.
Yeah.
Taxi refusals, restaurant refusals. I do think that it's a very scary time when you refuse because you're in just disbelief that somebody's discriminating against you. And it did take its toll on me when I had a number of issues. And I just had to be thinking, right, well, reassure myself that not everybody's like that, that it's just particular people have issues. I think that it's helped me remain calm. So in those situations where I want to, like, blow up and be really, really angry, that how dare you refuse me and things, I just stay calm and say, OK, if you're not going to let me in, then I think guide dogs will be in contact. And I just sort of leave there because it's no good for me to be angry because it doesn't get anywhere.
Yeah.
I think I remember as well you got refused once, and I think you wanted to do it for other guide dog owners that might not have been as educated as you and calm and... Do you remember one?
That's exactly why I did complain. For other guide dog owners that just hasn't, you know, they, if they've just been matched with a guide dog, their self-esteem is still building. You know, they might have been in the same situation as me, never been out on their own for a long time since they lost their sight. And I just thought, how would they feel? That could jeopardise the whole working relationship. It could stop them from growing in independence and living a life full to themselves. And that's why I became very passionate about the campaigning and things that this has made aware of how refusing somebody, how it can affect them, make you feel. So just remember feeling very anxious and traumatised for a while. It took me time to bounce back from that. But I had amazing support from various people, including colleagues in RNIB and guide dogs, and support throughout. And that's what helped me get through it, really.
Being refused somewhere, I think, again, people don't tend to believe that it happens, do they?
And it's you know, you go out for a meal with your friends and your family, you're all looking forward to this particular restaurant, and you get refused. It's embarrassing, because then your whole plans, you're like, well, what do you do now? Where do you go now? And it affects that moment.
And how do people, so if you've been in a situation where you've been refused and you've been with people, as well as your guide dog, how have the people with you reacted?
Just shocked. I remember it happened in one restaurant, and the other people actually sitting having a meal was just so disgusted. They became very vocal, and a couple actually walked out.
Yeah.
And they thought, if you're going to refuse guide dog, we're not eating here either, and walked out.
Yeah, I've had that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
But Kat's been a great strength throughout this journey of times when I have been struggling with things. Kat's helped, because Kat's also an experienced guide dog owner. But I just focus on all of the amazing, wonderful, positive things that a guide dog brings, and how my life has just improved massively and helped me. You know, I'm not embarrassed to have a guide dog, and I will admit this, I was embarrassed using a cane. Yeah. I was ashamed, and because it was like it was the first time I had a label that I was visually impaired.
Yeah.
But having a dog, it just took that. I'm just not embarrassed to have him at all, and proud, really proud.
Yeah, it is.
I think as well that, because, you know, I really struggle to start using my cane. Like you say, it's the first public outing, isn't it, almost, that you're visually impaired. And do you think maybe, because like with the dog and guide dogs, obviously it's got the harness on, if I'm right. Does everyone, because I know, do people always use harnesses, or am I just...
Yeah.
And so like with that, as other people who are sighted have dogs as well, so it's just, it's not necessarily, apart from obviously you've got the harness on, it's not necessarily something that no one else is going to have, whereas with a cane, it's like, it's just pure vulnerability, I think.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Yeah, I know what you mean.
That's all it does.
I found using a cane and then having a guide dog, you seem to get more help having a guide dog.
Wow. Yeah, definitely.
Everybody wants to help you and... Yeah. Just like everyone wants to talk to you, which is like, I know it frustrates some guide dog owners, but I really like that you're educating them, aren't you? People are curious. Of course, you come across some of the people who talk to the dog instead of you, and you get asked all sorts of crazy questions, but at least they're asking and wanting to find
out.
You know, and not being rude.
Yeah.
Of course, that you do get it's funny, you have lots of situations.
And how was your experience? You went to give a talk, didn't you, not long ago?
Yeah, I went to a school for National Eye Health Week, actually, to give a talk to the primary school children, and that was lovely. I asked them to ask questions and things, and they asked amazing questions, a lot better than what adults do, and actually paid interest of things, and I was just blown away by their reaction, really. The thirst to learn.
Yeah, that's right.
That's amazing.
Because you also have given talks in lots of schools, haven't you, about guide dogs?
Yeah, from play school, you know, to university students, to, you know, elderly groups. And like you say, they're all different, the questions they ask. Mm. Children have just no concept, do they, of what questions they're about to ask you, whereas some adults think, oh, I don't know whether I should ask that or not.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, ladies, for sharing.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Bye. We'd love you to join the conversation. If you would like to let us know how you feel about the subjects we have covered today, please tweet us at RNIB Radio or email radio@rnib.org.uk, or you can even get in touch using the Contact Us button on our fully accessible website, www.rnibconnectradio.org.uk. Thank you for listening.